Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden with another episode of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Now, if you're a regular listener, I definitely owe you an apology because I know it's been a few weeks since I've recorded. I have been busy, traveling some, working a lot, working on a new project, which I will fill you in the coming weeks. And, you know, it's summertime. I ain't gonna lie to you. I've been riding. It's motorcycle weather. It's time to get out. Enjoy yourself. I hope you have been too. I hope you've been having some fun. But anyway, here I am. I'm back. Let's talk. It's been a while. There have been a few events. Thankfully, there's been some funny stuff. There's always a serious. There's always a scary. There's been some funny. Here's a good thing. We seem to have taken a break from school shootings. That's right. There are no school shootings to report this week. Of course, school's out. You know, which really helps. But hey, I'll take it any way I can get it. So score one for the good guys. Now, here's a weird story. I didn't get in on this one. It's already gone by now because we have a news cycle at last seconds. But there was Meeks, the beautiful convict. Did you get a look at this guy? It was all over Twitter and women were loving him. He's light skin, chiseled features, light eyes, and women thought he was beautiful. Then they remembered he's a convict. I understand he did get a modeling contract, so, you know, maybe rehabilitation works if you're beautiful. Of course, I don't know if he'll be as beautiful coming out of prison as he is going in prison, if you know what I'm saying. But hey, wish him luck. I don't even know. The big story, the ongoing story, what's been going on since we've talked has been the World Cup. The beautiful game. The world is in love with soccer. And you know, for a few weeks, we here in the United States were in love with soccer too. You know, for the few weeks we were playing. Listen, I love our soccer team. They tried. They did their best. Let's be honest. We're not that good. On the world stage, at the world-class level, we're not that good. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be a soccer fan or a soccer expert. But I'll tell you this, when I watch the World Cup, there's something about watching those guys, and you see those guys, and they are the best soccer players in the world, and you can tell, because the game is more exciting. Now, you know, we all joke, when I say we, every comedian and most Americans joke about the fact that there's low scores, and, you know, it's soccer, and we don't get it, and why is this, but we're just kidding. We're having a good time. And we congratulate the team. They made a good run. Our goalie was absolutely fantastic. Just amazing at all the saves he created. And then our team came home. And now we're waiting to see who's going to win. And, you know, maybe Colombia or Germany or Argentina, one of the great teams. It's like basketball, right? If we were like Portugal or France in basketball, where we're good, you know, we're good, but we're not as good as the United States is in basketball, so we enjoy the run. But when it comes to enjoying, there's Ann Coulter, who doesn't allow, listen, the words enjoyment and Ann Coulter never go together. Now, as I said, we joke about, you know, soccer. Ann Coulter took it a little more serious. She actually wrote a column, and pretty much I just have to give you the title of the column to tell you where it is. Ann Coulter's column: any growing interest in soccer is a sign of a nation's moral decay. That's right. You see the moral decay of the nation indicated by our interest in soccer. How does that work? You're probably wondering. Well, let's take a look, shall we? Here's just a few things that Ann has a problem with in soccer. So let's see. In soccer, the blame is dispersed and almost no one scores anyway. There are no heroes, no losers, no accountability, and no one's fragile self-esteem is bruised. No winners, no losers, no heroes, really? Messi, Pele, Beckham, any of these names ring a bell? No losers? the Colombian soccer team two World Cups ago, a guy accidentally scored for the other team. He went home and he was shot. He was shot and killed by a drug cartel because he lost in the World Cup game. Now let's take a look at that, okay? As I understand it, Peyton Manning is still alive. Yes, after losing the last Super Bowl, I think Peyton's still walking around. No winners, no losers. You talk about high stakes, you talk about pressure. Yeah, if I lose, when I go home, the drug cartel will kill me. No, not figuratively, literally. Okay, Ann. But Ann, you're still upset, okay? Because Ann says liberal moms, yeah, you know those liberal moms, they hate their children, right? Liberal moms like soccer because it's a sport in which athletic talent finds so little expression that girls can play with boys. No serious sport is co-ed, even at the kindergarten level. You know, Anne, if you ever went to kindergarten, you would see that all the kids tend to play together, you know, whether t-ball or kickball or whatever. Why am I arguing? Forgive me. Forgive me. Let's get to the good stuff. Here's the good stuff. That's just crazy. Let's move into batshit crazy, which is where Anne lives. Soccer is like the metric system, which liberals also adore because it's European. Naturally, the metric system emerged from the French Revolution during the brief intervals they weren't committing mass murder by guillotine. Okay, let's just take a look at that. The metric system, you know who likes that? Mathematicians, geniuses, okay? But they're damn liberals. Now, the mass murder by the guillotine as opposed to mass murder by the crazed, quote, patriot shooters who read Ann Coulter's column all of the time. This is the best one on me. This is the one I love. Now, again, this is Ann, okay? If more Americans, in quotes, Americans are watching soccer today, it's only because of the demographic switch affected by Teddy Kennedy's 1965 immigration law. I promise you, no American whose great-grandfather was born here is watching soccer. Well, there you have it. There you have it. And if you're an American and your great-grandfather was born here, like, I don't know, the black population of America, our great-grandfathers were slaves. They were here. And guess what? We're watching soccer, Ann. We don't fully understand it, but we enjoy the game. Wow. The moral decay of the nation. Well, at least we figured it out. It's soccer. It's those liberal soccer moms and their math and their reading. Damn it. I guess, you know, I've missed a few weeks, but not much has changed. So, good for you, Ann. Happy to know you're still crazy. What else do we have going on? Obviously, the big story has been the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has been making a series of decisions, some good, some not so good, and one that I think is ridiculous. A good one, I think it's a good one, is that the police can't search your phone. So if you're arrested and you have your smartphone, the police can't, you know, go into the phone and look for pictures. But here's a better idea, criminals. Stop taking pictures of your crimes. See, that way, if the cop does look at your phone, he doesn't see a picture of you doing a criminal act. Just throwing it out there. Think it's a pretty good decision. Another decision that they made, that if you buy a gun, you have to say who you're buying it for. And that went to a policeman who, police have the right to buy guns, I guess, at a discount or maybe buy certain weapons others can't buy. He was buying it for someone else. I think he was buying it for his uncle or something. And they said that's illegal because if they do the check, like if they do the background check on you, that check is for you to own the gun, not for you to flip it and sell it to somebody, even though you can still sell it at a gun show with no background check. So I don't know that that's any more than, you know, the fact they said no to something that the NRA supported, which pretty much shocked everyone. But the Supreme Court decision that is really going to open the door to a unbelievable mess is this Hobby Lobby decision, which basically the Supreme Court said that For one thing, I guess once again, corporations are people, or small corporations are people, or something. But basically, if your religion, and I throw that in quotes because this isn't about religion in the sense of worshiping or helping other people or any of that stuff, the good stuff. This is about religion in the sense of persecution and separation and all of the worst things about religion. But if your religion says that you don't like a certain contraceptive, like Hobby Lobby doesn't like the IUD or the morning after pill, then they can tell the insurance company to not pay for it, even though you're a woman who works for them. Now, basically, this is utterly ridiculous, and this is another step backwards in freedom. First of all, you just take a look at the Supreme Court. Look at those five conservative justices. Take a look at Roberts and Alito and Clarence Thomas and Scalia. These guys are deciding women's health care. You have to laugh. Take a look at them. They're making decisions regarding women's health care. Now, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who happens to be a woman, wrote a scathing opinion about how bad this is. And this is why it's bad. Because if I can decide which laws apply to me based on my, quote, religion, then why stop at healthcare? Why can't I say that my religion says I can't deal with gay people? I can't deal with them. I'm not allowed to. It's my religion. So now I can discriminate against gay people in my business, which is what the Arizona law was about. And you better believe those lawsuits will come back. But let's take it a step farther. I can't deal with black people. Why? It's against my religion. Sounds ridiculous? Not really. That was the state of the Mormon religion up until the mid-70s, and a Mormon ran for president. You see? You have to remember that, and again, we're moving backwards, and this is what this court loves, is moving backwards. You have to remember that segregation, they found religious endorsement for that by interpreting the Bible a certain way. Slavery, they found religious endorsement for that by interpreting the Bible in a certain way. So don't think that this is limited to some healthcare issue where the insurance won't pay for a morning after pill, and why should you care? I'll tell you why you should care, because one day it will be your group, all right? One day it will be your group. Your group will violate someone else's religion, and they'll say, well, the law says I don't have to deal with you. Absolutely horrible, unbelievable. My only hope for the Supreme Court is in a long distance future. Now, this is one of those things, you know, I've always said that I don't agree with the Republicans, but I do admire their technique because the Republicans think long term. Listen, they haven't been able to defeat Barack Obama. Well, they've tried to through Congress, but they sure have the Supreme Court. They sure have this is where they get their conservative decisions. And remember, a Supreme Court appointment is for life. So it's going to be a while before the court switches. And in the meantime, they're moving everything backwards that they can. You look at these laws, you look again at voter suppression, you look at these utterly ridiculous gun laws, or lack of gun laws. Now we have this another anti-woman decision. This is all stuff from the 50s and 60s, people. You want to see this? You want to see how this plays out? Tune into Mad Men. That's the society that they want to bring back. A horrible decision, and it's going. The repercussions are going to be felt, because now, on the basis of religion, you can ignore a law. And here's the beautiful hypocrisy. And again, when I say religion, this is not knocking real religion. This is the business of religion, which is the business of power. The real hypocrisy is Hobby Lobby has money invested in pharmaceutical companies that make all of these birth control things, that make IUDs and birth control pills and everything else. And as far as saving money, I think it costs more in administrative costs to make sure a person doesn't get a particular type of treatment than paying for the treatment, because now you have to, like, if you go to get your birth control or your contraception or whatever it is, that some administrator has to decide if it's one of those that they approve of or one of those that they don't approve of. Well, you think that administrator is working for free? No. These people who fight Obamacare, and you know I hate that term, but that's a term that we use, so I'll use it. The people who fight this, that it's so ridiculous to think the insurance companies are on your side. Recently, and I don't have the article in front of me, so I'm going to paraphrase, but a man had two knee replacements, and the first knee replacement, his insurance covered. The second knee replacement, it cost him $15,000 because one of the machines that they use to treat the knee, that particular machine wasn't covered by his insurance. And the insurance carrier said that it's up to you to check, not just that the hospital is under your plan and that the doctors are under your plan, but that the equipment that they use to treat you is under the plan. So when you're having surgery, when you're knocked out on painkillers and anesthetic, when they roll a machine into the room, you're supposed to stop and say, hey, let me see what kind of machine you got there. Is that under my plan? Is that covered? Roll it out of here and get another one. That's the level that they want to hit you with. So this guy has a $15,000 bill because his doctor used a machine not authorized by his insurance. So you want to battle the healthcare plan. Don't think that the insurance companies are on your side, but what are you going to do? That's the Supreme Court. I'm done. I'm not going to say any more about it, okay? Ugh. So glad I'm going to Canada soon. Couple of weeks of sanity. I can use it. Rob Ford, what a break. All right, let's talk about elections. We had some state elections since I've last talked to you. Of course, the big one was in Mississippi. Yeah, Mississippi... incumbent, and I'm sorry for laughing, but you gotta love this. Thad Cochran, you had two Republicans running against each other. You had the Republican, and then you had the Tea Party Republican, aka the Nut. Okay, well, anyway, Thad Cochran was a Republican, and what he did, Mississippi has a law that if you're a Democrat and you didn't vote in a Democratic primary, you're allowed to vote in a Republican primary. So Thad Cochran was losing. So what he did was appeal to black people in Mississippi to say, hey, you didn't vote in a Democrat, come on over and vote for me. He was basically saying, look, we're both Republicans, but I'm not a Tea Party Republican. And black people were like, you got a point. So they came out and they voted for him. Oh, did the right wing get upset? Yeah, Rush Limbaugh started calling people Uncle Toms. And you know, Rush is sensitive. He has nothing but love for you, but Rush was mad about this one. So, this was Rush's quote. I wonder what the campaign slogan was in Mississippi the past couple of days. Uncle Tom's for Tad? Because, you know, the Republicans are reaching out to blacks and they want more black people to join the Republican Party. They want to be inclusive. So the best way to do that is start with the Uncle Tom thing. Okay. Now, Glenn Beck, here's another guy who we love. Glenn Beck said Cochran's victory was absolutely unbelievable. And he followed that with, I have a question for every black Democrat in Mississippi. What the hell is this 90-year-old fart, a white Republican, done for you? You tell me exactly. What exactly did Ted Cochran? It's so funny. Like, this makes no sense. Laura Ingraham, you know, another one. This is what I said makes no sense. I'm sorry, I'm bouncing around here. Because I can't understand this sentence. This is what Glenn Beck said. You tell me exactly what Ted Cochran did for you. You either say, no, I recognize how much it sucks to be black and unemployed in America, so I'm done with Democrats, I'm going over to this new fresh-faced Republican who's provided better unemployment rates for us. And then he stops. So what, I don't even know what that sentence means, but I got a feeling it wasn't pro-black. I'ma just guess on that one. Laura Ingraham said that the taste of Cochran's victory should be quite bitter. And finally, Sean Hannity, And you know how much we love Sean Hannity. Hannity said the flyer, you know, between the flyer that was distributed in black neighborhoods and the robocall saying the time has come to take a stand and say no to the Tea Party, no to their obstruction, no to their disrespect and treatment of the first African-American president, why would these calls be made in a GOP primary? That's right, it's a GOP primary. We should be saying yes to disrespect and treatment of an African-American president. We should be... So that's funny when the racists lose and for not being racist enough. So score one for Mississippi. And speaking of the Tea Party and something backfiring, T.W. Shannon, who was running for Senate in Oklahoma, okay, T.W. Shannon, a black, half-black, half-Chickasaw politician, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm leery of the Chickasaw thing, only because every black person I meet from the South is half Native American. I don't know what that is. They all pick a tribe and say, yeah, I'm part that. No, you're not. All right, stop it. But anyway, he lost. He lost in the election. He had the support of Sarah Palin and Ted Cruz. You can't go wrong with those two backing you up, can you? Well, apparently you can. I think what happened right before the election, they were walking to the polls. They were walking in and they saw his picture. What? He's black? Well, no, I'm not voting for him. This is Oklahoma, damn it. Sorry, my friend. Didn't work. Nice shot. Nice try. They're saying the reason that they didn't vote for him is because he's supported by the national Tea Party people as opposed to the local Tea Party people, and they're afraid his interests would be national rather than local. Tea Party versus Tea Party, to me, is just really a funny fight. We're talking about a fight that is in no way, on no level, based in reality. The Democrats, just as crazy. Charlie Rangel won for Congress again. He's a congressman from Harlem. I don't know how long he's been up there, but the man is 84 years old. The man is 84 years old. Now, most people are forced to retire at 65, maybe 70. They're still productive, but they have to give up their job to a younger person who's more capable and more in touch. Maybe 75, 84. He won because there was a viral rap song that got people to vote for him. Now, this guy's been up on more ethics charges than, I mean, literally the Republican, they'd be proud of him. He's been up on so many ethics charges. Charlie Rangel was a great congressman. Charlie Rangel was around through the civil rights era. Charlie Rangel was around in the 70s when things changed. Charlie Rangel helped Harlem grow. Charlie Rangel is too old and has been in Congress too long. That's the problem with Congress. That's why there's no movement, because you develop leadership by being there a long time, and these leaders have been there so long, they're completely out of touch with what's going on. I'm not disrespecting Charlie Rangel. He's done a great job. I feel the same about Senator McCain. I met McCain once. He's really too old. It's time to let it go. Be like a senior advisor to a younger congressman or something like that. Share your experience, but give up the job and allow someone who's in touch to do it. That's all I'm saying. You know, hell, I got to train the new comics. Listen, all these young, funny sumbitches coming up to me. Hey, man, give me some tips. All right, but when you get your sitcom, you remember, I'm going to play your old-ass uncle. I can play creepy. That's right. I'm dropping off my bouncer roles. I'm heading for the creepy old uncle roles. Long as I'm working. So that's what's going on there. Now, let's get to some really funny politics, and then we'll just wrap this thing up. Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney, ladies and gentlemen, there's been a Dick Cheney sighting, which is always scary. Dick Cheney is mad at Barack Obama. Dick Cheney wrote an editorial, a piece, an opinion, an op-ed about Barack Obama handling Iraq. This is the quote that I love. This is Dick Cheney wrote this. Rarely has a U.S. president been so wrong about so much at the expense of so many. Yes, I did say that. I hope you weren't driving when I said that. I said that Dick Cheney said, rarely has a U.S. president been so wrong about so much at the expense of so many. And he's talking about Iraq. And the U.S. president he's talking about is Barack Obama. Not George W. Bush, who he was right next to when they went to war looking for weapons of mass destruction, or when they went to war because of the ties between Al-Qaeda and Iraq, or when they went to war because Saddam, for every fake reason, they went to war to make money for Halliburton, which really did work. But anyway, this is what he said. He's, you know, obviously we have a problem now with ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. There are terrorist threats in Baghdad and so on. Somehow, and I'm not sure how, let me think. Iraq completely lost their government. Can't remember. Oh, yeah. That would be the Iraq War that George Bush and Dick Cheney started. That would be when the government was eliminated in Iraq and it was left to chaos. And now it's going through what it's going through. And now it's all Barack Obama's fault. And let me tell you how bad this thing has gotten with Dick Cheney. Megyn Kelly, who's one of Fox News' superstars, she's a blonde, which tells you right there she's Fox News' superstar. She actually stepped up. She stepped up after Cheney's op-ed. This is what she said. Mr. Cheney, time and time again, history has proven that you got it wrong as well in Iraq. You said there was no doubt Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. You said we would be greeted as liberators. You said the insurgency was in its last throes back in 05. And you said after our intervention, extremists would have to rethink their strategy of jihad. Now, with almost $1 trillion spent there and almost 4,500 American lives lost there, what do you say to those who say you were so wrong about so much at the expense of so many? To which Cheney replied, "No, I just fundamentally disagree, Reagan. Megan." That's the quote. I didn't make that mistake. That was his response. "I just fundamentally disagree, Reagan. I mean, Megan." So, again, it's Tea Party attacking Tea Party. Megyn Kelly attacking Dick Cheney. Have you seen the HBO show The Leftovers, where people just disappear, like it might be the rapture or something? Might be coming. I'm just saying. Tea Party versus Tea Party, Fox News versus Cheney, we could be looking at the last days. We could be looking at the end of times, not sure. At least some lightning, and maybe some brimstone, and I think frogs. Isn't that in the book, that it's going to rain frogs? Something's coming. Finally, and Cheney won't go away. And why is that? Why is that? How do we lose Ruby Dee and Maya Angelou? And Cheney's still here. I'll just never understand that. But finally, Bill Clinton versus Cheney. Now here's a good fight. I like this one. So what Clinton said was, "I believe if they hadn't gone to war in Iraq, none of this would be happening." Talking about ISIS and the current terrorist stuff going on in Iraq. He continued, "Mr. Cheney has been incredibly adroit for the last 6 years or so, attacking the administration for not doing an adequate job of cleaning up the mess that he made. I think it's unseemly." That's what Clinton said. So Cheney said, "If there's somebody who knows something about unseemly, it's Bill Clinton." All right, nice shot, Dick Cheney, but here's the thing. Bill Clinton got a blowjob and balanced the budget. You started a war and broke the nation's economy. I'm going to go with you being more unseemly. I'm going to just throw that out there. So that's it. That's what we got. That's where we're at. That's what I'm paying attention to. If you go to my Facebook page, at Alonzo Bowden, there was a literally, and I've used this word before, but I truly believe this, a brilliant piece that was written. I got it from Bill Moyer's website, and I posted it. I posted it on mine, and it's about the Tea Party. And the historian Jill Lepore has written a book, and basically she says that, you know, telling the Tea Party your politics would baffle the Founding Fathers. And I'm going to really paraphrase this, but basically the Founding Fathers, you know, if you look at the truth, and this is the problem with the Tea Party and all these other people who hold them as sacred. It's just like, you know, they make Reagan sacred, even though Reagan gave amnesty to illegal aliens, which if somebody in the Republican Party did now, they'd crucify him for doing it and so on. But basically what they're saying is that things weren't perfect when the Constitution was written. And Thurgood Marshall, who, I mean, that was back when you respected a Supreme Court justice. You know, Thurgood Marshall, he said that it wasn't a perfect union, okay? This is what he said. This was at the bicentennial of the Constitution back in the 80s. He said, some may more quietly commemorate the suffering, struggle, and sacrifice that has triumphed over much of what was wrong with the original document. Okay? I mean, when the document was written, you have to understand, we've been through a civil war. Our country went through growing pains. This is the point of this article, okay? And there are a lot of great people who talked about this, you know. And these guys, they talk about a Christian nation. Back in when the Constitution was written, and I didn't know this, and please go to my website, go to my Facebook page and read this article. There were 9 states that had an official religion. And that's why the Constitution said there will be no official religion. See, all of these people talking about that the Founding Fathers wanted it to be a Christian nation. They absolutely didn't want it to be a Christian nation. Okay? Benjamin Franklin was not Christian. He wasn't. Benjamin Franklin was secular. Mitt Romney, my faith is the faith of my fathers. Well, what Madison, one of the founding fathers said, the religion of every man must be left to the conviction and conscience of every man. Jefferson wrote, our civil rights have no dependence on our religious opinions any more than our opinions in physics or geometry, science, which they tend to hate over on the religious right side. Article 6 of the Constitution, no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. You see, that religion of our fathers doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. This is what you learn if you actually read. This was written by a historian, and it's great information, and I love it. The Tea Party is full of shit. I'm going to say it again. The Tea Party is full of shit. Let me say it one more time. The Tea Party is full of shit. It's revisionist history. It's a dream of what they wanted the Founding Fathers to say versus what the Founding Fathers actually said. The Constitution is a living document. The Constitution is designed to be changed and amended as our society changes. We are a different society now. We are not the same society we were in the 1700s, all right? Like it or not, black people are free now. Women have the right to vote. We have immigrants from all around the world. Technology has allowed us to do things the Founding Fathers may have never dreamed of. And you know what? It's all good. We're not moving backwards. I will say it again. We are not moving backwards. And as always, I've said this before, I'll say it now, my hope is with the millennials. If you're in your 20s, if you're in your late teens, we're sorry. And if we're not sorry, we should be, because we've screwed it up. But I've seen remarkable things from you guys. You kids are open-minded and smart, and you're gonna clean this up. You're my hope. I may not be around to see it, but you're going to clean it up. But please, don't do away with cars, because I still like driving, all right? No self-driving cars until I'm off the road. I love you guys. Continue to pay attention. This weekend, I'm going to be at Parlor Live in Bellevue, and from July 15th through July 27th, I will be at Just for Laughs in Montreal, the biggest comedy festival in the world, and my absolute favorite thing. I'm doing all-star shows with Dom Herrera. I'm doing my own shows called News Is Not News, and they're going to be some of the most brilliant comic minds in the world, hanging out, doing what we do. Thank you for listening. This is Alonzo Bowden signing off.